The Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back, and we are recapping episode number 11 of Survivor Season 50, a new twist in the game, another double boot, one that I thought it was a double boot episode this week because they just have to get down in numbers. I did not expect it to go this way. I'm excited to dive into this episode. We had a challenge situation unlike any other in Survivor history. Thank God we have Will here, not a top 50 dream teamer. Didn't get invited out for the Kierhofer thing, but Will, you here.
What is that?
I don't know, man. I didn't see you in the picture. They did like 50 dream teamers for season 50. Where was Will?
I mean, there's probably over 50 dream teamers that actually worked on season 50, including former dream teamers and current dream teamers. I don't know what it was, but I mean, there's probably at least 50 dream teamers that still work for the show. And I don't.
They said that they invited specifically between seasons 35 and 38, 50 dream teamers.
Yeah, I mean, I would have had to get invited twice if that were the case.
Anyway, so we got a lot to break down in this episode. We lose Ozzy in a massive blindside, one that has left me absolutely floored. He was number one in my power rankings this week. I really thought he was in a great spot. I did not think he was going to get voted out with an idol in his pocket. We also lost Emily. We'll get into what her plan was and how she was going to try to figure out how to convince everybody that Devins was going to potentially play the idol for her. And then what was going to happen after that? There was so much going on here. And really, I think the other thing that we're going to have to talk about aside from this twist is the fact that Ozzy's blindside was able to work because the people who were committing that blindside are known to be so loyal and so honorable. And yet here they go going against Ozzy. So I'm really excited to dive into this. We had Tiffany getting DQ'd from a challenge in a way that we haven't seen. We actually broke the fourth wall and had standards and practices and the judges and everything that Will talks about all the time on this podcast become a part of this episode. So I'm excited to dive into all of it. This is going to be a great episode. I'm really, really pumped. Will, where do you want to start? I feel like I'm coming into this going, last week's episode was 2 hours. This was an hour and a half. I feel like there's so much more that happened tonight, and I'm really excited to dig in.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, I honestly said, this was my favorite episode of the season. Is that
easily
crazy
for me?
Like, I thought easily. This was fantastic. I will say, like, the twist itself, I really am not a fan of. Like, I'm not a fan of splitting into small groups, especially, like, look, it's not as bad as Blood Moon because, you know, you're only down to final nine. You're already in a pretty small group as it is. You should have a relationship with everybody. And if you don't, that's on you. But the numbers can work out in a way where it doesn't work. Obviously, tonight, I think the numbers just gave up, like, again, don't want to be too results oriented here. I think you can say I don't like this twist, but this was also my favorite episode of the season. Both can be true. I wouldn't want to see this twist again. I think we've like now can like wholeheartedly confirm that like, yeah, 24 people is way too many for a 26-day season. Like there's just no getting around that. But like outside of this twist that could have gone randomly bad and not had any good gameplay and been too easy, this was like so entertaining. And Cerise's extra vote play was
epic.
Fantastic. I like how they slipped in the confessional at the end to hint at it. It wasn't this big thing that was drumming up. Am I going to play it? Am I not? Like it was really very subtle. I thought Emily's plan also was like pretty clever and it was clever in a number of ways that we'll get into. I enjoyed that. And then, yeah, we got it. Just a classic blindside somebody with an idol. So, I mean, I really, really love this. I know I was kind of surprised how universally loved the Mr. Beast twist was last week. I understood how good of a moment it was, but I thought enough people would be like, this isn't really Survivor. Like if someone is at risk for leaving the game without a vote even taking place. I think everyone didn't really like do or die, and it was really kind of flavors of that. All I saw was just that was the best tribal council ever. Mm-hmm. That was the best episode of the season. And I was kind of like, it was sure. It felt a little gimmicky and fabricated that you're just like going to give us this big moment, this big coin flip. Half the time, everyone's pissed off. But sure, I thought tonight, like, I'm seeing a lot of negativity in the chat. I thought tonight was like fantastic. I really thought this was like the best Survivor gameplay we have seen all season.
I completely agree. I thought tonight's episode was infinitely better than last week's. And something I want to talk about with this twist, because Will, you said you don't want to see this twist again. I think that this twist is infinitely more interesting than I'm not going to read that. I think that this twist is infinitely more interesting than the normal split 5-5 or 4-4 or something along those lines. I think this is so much more interesting because there's this compelling element of how do you work the person in the middle? I know some people would say, well, this was overpowered for Jonathan. It wasn't. Like, you had Ceri not being able to tell Ozzie, but you see Ceri trying to game that. What can she say to Jonathan to get Jonathan to go tell somebody other information? Who's going to be in the middle? And like you had said right off the top, the reason this is better than the Blood Moon and the reason why I won't hear anybody talking about Blood Moon being just the same as this, Billy Bounce right now, how do you like this episode but not the Blood Moon? They have been playing together for days as a merged tribe. Like, this has been going on and on and on and on. If you don't build a relationship with somebody by this point, that's on you. We're also down to final nine, so I don't feel like you're getting as screwed as you would be at Blood Moon. Blood Moon was at final 17. You can't possibly have a relationship with 16 other people, especially when there's literally people you haven't been on an island with. At this point, if you don't have a relationship with the other 8 people on your tribe, you're not going to win Survivor anyway. So, like, you kind of deserve to be screwed over at some point. You have to have a relationship going with everybody. And we saw that with Ceri. Ceri, a lot of people will be sitting here going, how is Ceri not going home tonight? Because she had good enough relationship with Jonathan and she had good enough relationship with Tiffany to convince them, hey, still get rid of Emily, who literally is no threat at the final tribal council, and keep me around as the best player to never win Survivor. This episode was all about strategizing. And while people are going to highlight last week's episode and talk about how much they love that, that episode to me was very results-based. I think that last week's episode was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. I think that that was one of the best episodes we've seen in a long time. It was awesome. Rick Devens made that happen. This twist has the potential to work more often than it doesn't. Whereas that one is a literal 50-50 every single time. You do not know if it's going to work or it's going to be the biggest bom, 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 ever. Like, you don't know. This one has the potential to work because it's involving strategizing, because it's involving players having to work together. And now I wouldn't mind seeing it again because it's something people can prepare for. We've seen people try to prepare for these like split tribals post-merge. That's something that you should be preparing for because they've been happening forever. Well, now you have this little extra wrinkle of, if I were to be on a tribe with 3 other people, And this person's in the middle, would I survive that? That's something you got to be thinking about when you play Survivor. And honestly, I think that might lead to better gameplay. And I do think that this is the type of twist. This first time, it could have been a disaster. If Ceri is with Ozzie and Jonathan and Rizzo and Devens, that's a disaster. But I think more often than not, this is going to result in people having to play the game and having to build relationships. And I also enjoyed that it was 2 tribal councils of 5 rather than 2 tribal councils of 4, because like we talked about with 49, the 4-person tribal is not interesting. It's not good. Maybe you end up in a tie, but it always kind of convinces the person who's swaying a little bit to just take the safer route and go 3-1. I like that this was 2 5-person tribal councils. That's good for me. So I love this episode. I thought the strategizing went insane. I literally sat in my chair just like jaw on the floor when Ozzie got booted. I could not believe that it was him going home. I thought Aubrey was going home for sure a week after I'm saying she absolutely wins this season. I love this. This was my favorite episode of season 50 so far, really without a doubt, maybe with the exception of the premiere, just because the premiere had that epicness to it. But if you're talking like what Survivor brings, it doesn't get better than what we watched tonight.
Yeah, you just did a really good job at explaining why this is so much different than the Blood Moon. The Blood Moon, they were going from 3 separate tribes into now 17, and then 2 get saved, and then 3 small groups of 5 where people haven't interacted yet. You're actually at an earlier point in the season 2 where you're going more off tribal lines. We're down to final 9 at this point, and you should have established relationships. Again, I don't like splitting into small groups really at all, but if you're going to do it, this is like at least more tasteful. And like you said, we do this with 2 groups of 5. 2 odd number votes is going to fare better more often of the time. So like, sure. Do you want to start with 1 of the votes? Where do you want to tackle this first? You want to go with Ozzie first? The thing, go ahead.
I think that the more interesting one is I think the Emily vote is more interesting, but I think that the Ozzie one is the more impactful. So I think we talk about the Ozzie one because I think it was more straightforward. And a lot of people in the comments are saying Ozzie's the stupidest ever. I actually think that you need to look at this as a glass half full kind of thing. this isn't Ozzy being dumb. This actually was Ozzy playing to the people he was around. Joe and Jonathan are known for being loyal to a fault. Why would he think they're going to flip on him? I know he's not totally in with them, but like him and Joe, they were on the same starting tribe, and they had kind of gotten back together in a little way. When Joe and Jonathan are telling you, we're going to vote out Aubrey, why would you not believe that? Plus, you've been the Sir Wizard of Oz. Like, we as an audience can sit here and say, oh, we know so much. Did he get cocky telling Aubrey as much as he did? Absolutely. But I think Ozzy, with the information he has and the people he's on that island with, I don't know if I would have played my idol. And I say play your idol every time.
Yeah, and it's not like just one person needs to flip here. Like, two people need to flip. You know, it's like you get a vote from Aubrey. But if one person decides to get a little wiggly, oh, let's blindside Ozzy, they can't do it on their own. And like you just said, so you need at least one of Joe and Jonathan. If you want to play your idol, you have to say, okay, I am now putting a more likely chance that either Joe or Jonathan have decided to turn on me. And then, like you said, he's with Rizzo. Like, Rizzo has been maybe his closest ally outside of Sari since the merge started. So you'd have to think, yeah, either Joe and Jonathan got together, or Rizzo and Jonathan, Rizzo and Joe. All of those combos sound like pretty impossible. And I also know that he was so floored and was so shocked, as he should be. Like, he was devastated. That's part of the episode I really enjoyed, just that, like, seeing the pain and, like, the pause. And even Jeff's timing was saying, like, Ozzy, the tribes, but, like, giving Ozzy the chance to let it out, and the hugs and all the little one-liners. I think there's a lot of good. I think Jonathan snuck one in. I wasn't going to beat you, man. Like, I wasn't going to be, like, that's a great one from Jonathan that could have future implications. I do think, did part of Ozzy go like, if I play my idol here, I'm at final seven, being who I am, Ozzy, one of like the few survivor legends still left on this season. And there are kind of few to begin with. Like, you have Coach Sari, Ozzy, maybe Stephanie. I don't know. Maybe Jenna Lewis, because she's season one. Like, it's not like we filled the roster. Colby, sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, how could you forget him?
I know. I'm sorry. Was there a part of Ozzy, and again, I know he was shocked, but he's like, let me just like roll the dice here. Because like, if I play this idol now, I'm going to have a successful idol play to my name. I already have the threat level being Ozzy. Not a lot of threats left. Joe, Jonathan, Rizzo, who's an unknown, Tiffany, Emily, who's messy. I mean, I guess Emily's on the jury at this point. But I mean, people that you're just not that worried about. And he says, well, then I'm basically going to be target number one. There's no way I'm getting to final three with a successful idol play. And so if they've turned on me and it's a 20% chance, I'd rather roll the dice and say I'd rather keep this idol with me at final seven. And if they get me, they get me. I will be devastated. I will be shocked. If somehow two of three of those people got together with Aubrey and pulled this off, tip my cap to them. I don't know if he's thinking that hard about it, but I don't know. It's like, if he plays this idol, he's going to be a huge threat coming into next week.
So let's break this down kind of in a James Clement way for all of you China fans. We're at final nine and there's going to be two boots. So after this, you're down to final seven. If Ozzy gets through this vote with his idol, he's assuming Rizzo is going to survive this also as an idol. And he's assuming Sari is going to do enough damage over there because Sari is Sari. The way he's looking at it is, we're at final seven. I have an alliance of three. Plus I have an idol. Plus my other ally has an idol. Plus he doesn't know that Sari is about to play her extra vote. We might have an extra vote as well. We pretty much have the numbers at final seven, and I have an idol where if anything goes wrong, and I'm the best challenge competitor out here, so I can win immunities. Even though Jonathan and Joe are still in the game, I can win immunities down the stretch to ultimately win this game. I think that's what Ozzy was thinking. Ozzy got one step too far ahead of himself because he plays the idol tonight. I agree with you. If he has a successful idol play, that's way too big of a target on his back, and maybe that's something that he's thinking about. But also, the alternative is you either play an idol and you survive and you have a big target on your back, or you don't play the idol and you go home. You have to play the idol here. I just don't think he saw it coming at all, and he's sitting there saying to himself, I'm at final seven with an idol and a great alliance. Sari and I are going to go to the end together. We're the two biggest threats in the game. Rizzo can be our little buddy who's just sitting next to us. That's great for him. And so I think that if Ozzy plays it tonight, I actually think Ozzy probably makes the final four of this season because he would have had the numbers. He actually becomes a little bit less threatening because he doesn't have an idol anymore. But I can't really fault him for this because, again, I think what the community, especially the online community, which I saw over here with this one from Meme View. Twitter is going to go on a rampage with that challenge result, which we'll get into. I do feel like the online community is going to be looking to make Ozzie look bad rather than Joe and Jonathan and Rizzo look good. Now, Aubrey looks good coming out of this one, no matter what. This was her first move. She got the information. She did what she had to do with it. But I really think Joe and Jonathan and Rizzo played this so perfectly to get out the biggest threat in the game with an idol, other than Siri, but with an idol, to vote him out and blindside him like this and not spill it all. Give some credit to Joe, who can't keep his mouth shut and has been running around the whole season blowing up these types of plans. Give some credit to Jonathan for being smart enough to go back and forth and figure this whole thing out and know that getting rid of Ozzy is probably going to piss off Siri, but keep Siri in the game anyway to get rid of Emily. And give some credit to Rizzo for what he did tonight. I know a lot of people are going to focus on the negative with Ozzy, but I think we got to be looking more at the positive for the three people who actually made this move happen.
Yeah, and I will give credit to Rizzo here too. Once it, you know, they, you know, zoom in after the vote's been read, Jeff says, does anyone have an idol or advantage they'd like to play? It goes to Rizzo first, and then it goes to Ozzy. And once it pans away from Rizzo, I'm like, oh, there's no way Ozzy's playing his idol. Because the way we were told this story was that if Ozzy does play his idol, it's likely going to be Rizzo in front of the jury being like, Ozzy, play it. They voted for you. And this was going to be Rizzo's move of saving Ozzy. And then maybe Rizzo has this player he can take to the end with. Now, if I sit next to Ozzy, I'm the one who told him to play his idol when he got the most votes. I thought that's maybe where we were headed in all this. And Rizzo made a decision that says it's better for Ozzy to just be voted out with the idol. I don't have him as a number in his idols out of the game. But I don't know. I thought that was a real line there for Rizzo to, if you're playing with these legends from these earlier seasons and no one knows who you are, to objectively have one up on Ozzy and sit at the end with him. I think that could have been a good move. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Look at it from Rizzo's point of view. Was there a chance that he could have made a move like this, and he still keeps Ozzy in the game? He still has Siri on the other side. Everyone's joining back up. There's only 7 people left. You don't know what happened with the extra vote. You don't know for sure that was played or not played, but you know you still have an idol and you're keeping it. So I don't know. I saw that as a real possibility.
Here's what I think. I think that Rizzo would have been more inclined in 2 different scenarios. One, if he sees Siri sitting on the jury. If he sees Siri sitting on the jury, he tells Rizzo or Ozzy to play his idol. Because then Rizzo's sitting here going, I got to count the numbers. I don't have the numbers anymore. I can't lose Siri and Ozzy in the same vote. That would be a disaster for me. But I think the other scenario, and I think it's the biggest mistake that Ozzy made, Rizzo hears Ozzy blowing up their entire plan to get the final 3. Everything that they're going to do. He wants to go to the end with Siri. He's telling Aubrey this. He's telling people this. Now that word is getting around. That's bad for Rizzo's game. If Rizzo defends Ozzy too much, he might be looked at as too one note. He's too rigid. He's not going to be willing to flip. And also, does he really trust Ozzy nearly as much now as he did earlier? Because Ozzy's working that jury so much. Now, Rizzo can say, Ozzy, play your idol. It's going to be the best thing for you. But at the end of the day, if he says, Ozzy, play your idol, it's the best thing for you, and Ozzy plays his idol and Ozzy's still in the game, Ozzy's been trying to work the jury too, and you're going back to camp with somebody that just blew up your entire final 3 plans and told Aubrey that. Is that worth having on your side, or is it worth saying, look, that's what Ozzy thought. That's not really what was happening, because Rizzo can own this move a little bit. And if Rizzo can navigate after this, I actually think that there's an argument to be made that Rizzo's playing the best game. So I don't know.
I think there is probably an argument that he could say that, but I think convincing a jury that's never seen him play against some of these other people that just have the street cred, that's just going to be very tough to do. I'm seeing in the chat, we can get
that. Can we throw up this big one first?
Oh, well, go ahead. I was in the middle of saying something, but you can interrupt me. That's fine.
Well, I just wanted to say, because this makes sense. Ian Leventhal, I think Rizzo made a great move. The 2 million impacted him, and he wants to go to the end with Joe and Jonathan. He can take credit at final for this, and the target will be on Devin, Siri, and Tiff moving forward. So there you go. I mean, that's
a great comment. I was talking about something else, but I think we want to give the super chats their due, especially when they're that large. We want to, you know, have a moment for them.
I apologize. I thought that you were going this route. I thought we were still talking about Rizzo and what was his move and did it make sense. So that's my fault.
Well, no, I saw in the chat going back and forth about whose move this was. And a lot of people are saying this is Jonathan's move. This is Jonathan's decision. I would say it was Rizzo's because, look, we already knew Jonathan wanted to get out Ozzie. He wanted this last week. We're not going to give it to Aubrey. Aubrey is on the bottom. Aubrey will write down whatever name she is told or whatever name comes up that isn't her own. She's like, I'm down. So the way this plan either goes or doesn't go is through Rizzo. Now, you could argue, actually, it's a little bit of Joe's move in some way because Joe and Jonathan could have pulled this move off together without looping in Rizzo, and then they didn't even need him. But the fact that it got to Rizzo, and that was a little bit of Cerise doing from the other side, pushing Jonathan to tell Joe to talk to Rizzo. Once it gets to Rizzo, he is now in a position to say, I can either go along with this plan or I can tell Ozzie to play his idol. And Rizzo again put himself in a position where he can now dictate where it goes. So I'm giving most of the credit here to Rizzo.
I think you're spot on. I think there's an argument to be made for everybody. And, you know, Aubrey obviously was on the bottom. She's going to go wherever she needs to go. But I also think there needs to be some credit given to Aubrey here for immediately going to Jonathan and saying, look, this is the situation. I'm going to separate myself from the rest of the group. I'm going to sit on the beach. Jonathan, here's what Ozzie told me. Do you trust me now? What do you want to do? And that puts the fear of God into Jonathan right now. And he starts hearing, wait, Cerie has an extra vote. What's going on here? This is an opportunity. Now, Jonathan has to go convince Joe. Aubrey has to convince Joe. That's not an easy thing to do. But like you said, Will, once the word gets back to Rizzo, it is now Rizzo's decision of who is going to go home in this episode.
That's what
if
I mean.
Rizzo, really, yeah, you're spot on. You're spot on.
Well, thank you, Phil. That's why we're the
special. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but like if Rizzo wants it to be Ozzie, he's going to do what he did tonight. If he wants Ozzie to stay in the game, Rizzo's going to tell Ozzie at Tribal Council, this is the situation. So I think everybody had a hand in this move, but I do think ultimately this was Rizzo's decision of who went home tonight. And he wanted it to be Ozzie because of what he heard around camp that night.
Yeah. So there we go. And I mean, I think it's probably right from Rizzo, right?
Like just, I think so. You can't beat Ozzie.
But now you don't have Ozzie there. See, I think you can't beat Ozzie unless you tell him to play his idol and you do that in front of the jury, right? I think at least you have someone in the game that you feel like you can maybe beat. Now Ozzie's gone. This alliance is now you and Cerie. You're not beating Cerie. So, like, who is Rizzo planning on going to the end with? Is it simply get to the end? Like, the comment said, we can go back to our super chat comment. Thank you very much. It was, I think the comment said, go to the end with Jonathan and Joe. Is that a final three for Rizzo?
I got to find it again. I lost it.
Yeah, because you brought it up too early.
I know that's my fault, but I do think Jonathan and Joe is probably what he's thinking. Cause now you think about coming out of this move, and that is what Ian Levin thought that, but I just can't find it. But I do think based on this episode, if Rizzo goes to the end with Aubrey, he says, Aubrey, I could have easily sent you packing at final, whatever this is. Like I could have easily sent you home at final eight. You had no idea. There was nothing you could do about it. You had no defense. I made the decision to make sure that Ozzie went. I think he can make the argument over Joe and Jonathan just because of who Joe and Jonathan are. I think that Rizzo, even though they haven't seen his game, he could make a pitch at the end to beat them. I also think, though, on the other side, yeah, he can't beat Cerie. He can't beat Devins. He can probably beat Tiffany. It's probably close, but I think that getting rid of Ozzie, you eliminate somebody you almost can never beat. Because even if he saves Ozzie, I still think there's people on that jury that out of principle would vote for Ozzie over Rizzo strictly because they want the representative of the season to be somebody more legendary. And so I think that there is a scenario where Rizzo could do exactly what you said, tap him on the shoulder and say, if you don't play it, you're done. And the jury still says, you know what though, Rizzo, you're not Ozzie. And that was one move. And that was a stupid move. You shouldn't have kept Ozzie in the game because you can't beat him.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about Rizzo's kind of likelihood of winning and it just being tough with people not having seen him and him being so new, but that would be, I mean, you'd have literally like the objective one up on the guy. Like I saved your life in this game. And then they'd be like, well, you made a mistake saving his life because you can't beat him. It's like, okay, well, I literally had more intel about what was going on than he did.
Hey, you still got to argue it. You still got to argue it. And Ozzie's got history and history and history to argue. That helps.
Yeah. Okay. So you feel good about we've kind of talked through this one. Do we want to move over to the just I mean, I got to say, like, Emily, this was a very clever plan. I really liked it because it didn't have that many. Sometimes you rely on another person with an advantage. Like, I have an ally with an idol. Here's my kooky plan, and it results in them doing something other than their own best interest, which is playing the advantage on themselves. And so this plan didn't ask Rick Devens to do anything but to just self-protection mode. Emily's plan required Devens to play an idol on himself. That's not asking much from your ally. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's why this was so beautiful. And then Ciri just comes over the top with this extra vote that I don't know. I mean, it came into the game so long ago. Was this the exile extra vote? Was it all the way from
this episode was the one that Ozzy gave after him and Q decided to do whatever they did, where Q lost
it
his
it was
vote.
The one from exile, and Ozzy gave it to Ciri, and this thing's just been lingering, and I still didn't really see it coming because I didn't think Ciri was catching wind of this. And even if, like, it just, I didn't realize an extra vote here was going to be like the deciding thing to keep her in the game. But man, we got a 2-2-2. It was going to be a, what was it going to be? A 2-2-1?
It would have been a 2-2-1.
Two negated by the idol, and it would be a 2 Ciri, 1 vote Emily, 2 votes Devens negated by the idol, and Ciri's packing up. She's out of here. This was amazing.
This was amazing. I think what made this so good, and I got to give credit to Emily, and I know Emily, you know, she's been up and down on the roller coaster here throughout this entire season, and I know. I've been saying a lot. I don't think Emily really is playing that good of a game. What she did tonight, though, was borderline brilliant, and it almost worked. Like, I really do think that with lesser players, this plan works, because all she said was, I think I, like, her plan essentially, just to lay it out again, I'm going to convince them, Rick, that you're going to give me the idol. They're going to then not split the votes, put 3 votes on you, and then whoever we vote for goes home. Which is a good idea, right? Because the thinking is, if Emily can convince them that she's with them, she'll convince them to split the votes. So then what happens? It's a 2-1. It should be a 2-2, because Emily would say, okay, sure, I'll vote for Ciri. Somebody else do Ciri. And then however they want to break it down. It was supposed to be Emily convincing them that she's playing with them to vote out Devens or to do whatever part of the split vote, however it was going to go. The problem is why it didn't work is because all 3 of them didn't put it on Devens. It's kind of harebrained, but at the same time, if all 3 votes go on Rick Devens here, Rick Devens and Emily are deciding who goes home. She doesn't know that Ciri has an extra vote, so she doesn't know that they actually do have the ability to do a 2-2-2 split. If Ciri doesn't have the extra vote, because I'm sure that she probably told somebody about this. I bet you she told Tiff and Jonathan before going to Tribal, this is what needs to happen. And we just didn't see it, which I'm okay with the editors not telling us that, because it led to a really great Tribal and a great surprise. But I bet you she told them, and that's why they were comfortable splitting. If she doesn't tell them, this is probably a 3-2 vote. And if Ciri votes separate and doesn't have an idol, I mean, doesn't have an extra vote, then it's a 2-2-1 and she's getting 2 votes. Her 1 vote doesn't matter. Her having the extra vote, she must have done more with it than we heard and told more people, because it's the only way you can split the votes in this situation, which is why Emily's plan was so good, because if they don't split the votes, Devens and Emily are deciding who goes home if she's able to convince them to vote for the wrong person.
Yeah, but I think Ciri probably just thought through this all. I mean, it's Ciri.
Yeah, she's probably good.
She's probably like, okay, in what scenario do I go home? If we throw 3 votes at Devens and, like, okay, hopefully Devens makes the hero move and plays the idol for Emily and Devens goes home, idol's gone. But in the case that Devens plays this idol, where are those Emily votes coming from? It's probably not coming from Devens. Emily's not voting for herself. And Ciri's going, wait a second, this could be them. And she doesn't even need to tell Tiffany or tell Jonathan, oh, look, I've got this extra vote. Let's do a 2-2-2. I think Ciri can sit back, crunch her own numbers, and be like, I'm going to play this just to cover my ass. And if anything gets shifty, I've now got an extra vote on Emily to ensure that I don't get voted off in a 2-1. I mean, maybe she let Tiff and Jonathan in. I mean, she probably did. But I don't know. If you tell them that.
She did.
If you tell them that, you almost,
I mean, you have to think, like, Jonathan knew about the extra vote because of Aubrey, because Ozzy told Aubrey. So then Aubrey went and told Jonathan. So Jonathan knows about the extra vote. I bet you he called out Ciri about it.
Do you think there's a world that Sari got this telephone through Jonathan, like, hey, Ozzy just spilled the extra vote to Ozzy, or Ozzy, sorry, Ozzy spilled it to Aubrey. Aubrey told Jonathan, and Sari's like, oh no, now this extra vote is coming back to me. And Sari's like, screw it, I'm just going to play it tonight. And now it's ending up in this, like, what looks like this beautiful thing. I doubt that. But there is a chance where she's like, I don't know if I need to play this, but I'd rather just get rid of it so I don't have this unnecessary target on my back, which sounds absurd that Sari would even have to think about, like, reducing her threat level given, like, one extra vote. It's like, Sari is at final seven of the season. Shouldn't her threat level be, like, through the roof?
Through the roof.
Like, how is she still... How do Tiffany and Jonathan and Emily and Devitt not just go, like, 4-1 on Sari, like, let's go?
Like, yeah, Sari's
playing that well.
I agree. And we have Brown Charlie here who says the twist really screwed Sari again. She may have survived, but her game was pretty much destroyed this episode because she was separated from Ozzy. I do worry for Sari moving forward now because Ozzy as a target and as a threat is out of the game. They have to just be perking their ears up going, okay, we got to vote Sari out of the game. Now, this felt like an easy time to do it, but at the same time, I had Kyle on, Kyle Durrett on yesterday, who does the Matt Chat and who does our amazing race coverage, and he had said he did the numbers, and Sari has never won an immunity challenge, and she's participated in 26 or 27 of them. You're not worried about her winning, so you can keep her around to six. And
who's the first she doesn't, today?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that that's helping because I agree with you. She should be being seen as a big threat, but if she can never protect herself, just know where the information is. She's the best player in the history of the show at getting information and doing what you need to do with that information, but her one fatal flaw is she cannot protect herself at all. She can't do anything to save herself when it is time for everybody to ultimately vote for her. She can't get that clutch win in an immunity challenge. And so,
what about an idol? Can't you just find an idol?
No, because they're all found, because Genevieve found them all. In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of Wilderness Thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold. As Jenny Kim says, idol, now boomerang Genevieve back into the game.
Yeah, can Genevieve come back from Edge of Extinction? That would be a good twist. The fans voted for twist. I don't know if you remember. It was like 63% or something. So, like, can we get Genevieve back? That's what we voted for. That's, everyone's so high on Redemption Island, Edge of Extinction, right? Everyone loves that. That's what the fans crave. Give it what the fans crave. That's what we crave.
Yeah. As long as it's for somebody that we care about. I mean, look, Natalie Anderson has beaten JT in the winner bracket over there on EW. So who knows? As long as it's somebody we like, and Genevieve is that person we like. And I mean, Billie Eilish would be absolutely floored seeing that happen. I know she tuned in really seriously tonight and was watching
from Billie Eilish tonight. She was like, "Hey, Survivor fans, I heard there was some drama this week on the internet. Can you
didn't watch the video? Really?
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, you got to go outside sometimes, man. You got to go outside, and by outside, I mean, you got to watch these videos. That's crazy. She essentially mocked the entire thing.
I should stay inside and be more online. So, like, literally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, she essentially mocked the entire Survivor thing, and people are trying to make the argument that it's okay that she did it. She thought it was stupid, so it's allowed. And it's like, no, you agreed to do a celebrity tie-in or a celebrity endorsement for a show. you don't get to mock it while it's still going on a podcast and roll your eyes and like make fun of it. It was a real slap in the face. A lot of people have disagreed with me. Some people called me a bunch of names over. Like, I'm going to say this now. Here's the two things. You post fake or real spoilers. I'm not going to wait to find out if they're real or not. People are getting a little lax here at the end of this. Will, this is a good time to go get a drink. I'm going to block you. Like, that's it. I'm going to block you on every bit of social media. I'm going to block you on YouTube. Like, there's no second chances with this. I'm not going to wait around to find out what's going to happen. I don't know if it leaked or something that Saree was going to go home this week, but all of a sudden people in our comments are just nonstop. Too bad Saree goes, too bad Saree goes, too bad Saree goes. And I was like, I'm blocking all of you. Like, it doesn't matter if that's true or if it's false, you're getting blocked. The other thing that you're going to get blocked for is if you attack us personally. And some people will say, well, you guys can't handle constructive criticism. Calling us smug assholes is not constructive criticism. That's just criticism. And so with this Billie Eilish thing, a lot of people, I think, are missing the point of why it was so bad. And a lot of people are saying, well, we all thought it was stupid. So she's allowed to say it was stupid. Her name's attached to it, whatever. No, she signed on as a celebrity endorsement. That's like Kevin Hart does an ad for Carl's Jr. He doesn't get to then all of a sudden try the Carl's Jr. and say that was gross. Now let me go publicly say Carl's Jr. is actually shit while he's still in the middle of doing an endorsement for Carl's Jr. Like, you don't get to do that. So Billie Eilish, I lost a lot of respect for her on this. Her movie's going to make like 9% of what Taylor Swift's made. So she's not at that level. She's still big. People are like, oh, she's bigger. Yeah, I know she's big. Okay. I know who Billie Eilish is, but I just think she handled this so, so badly. It was so negative. Some people disagree with that. I don't think that this isn't a matter of opinion thing. I think you're wrong. You don't do a celebrity endorsement or a celebrity tie-in and mock or make fun of the thing that you're tying in with.
Haven't we just been waiting for her to even like acknowledge it? At least she acknowledged it. What did she say?
Why did she acknowledge it, Will? This is why she acknowledged it, because her movie comes out this weekend. So she acknowledged it last week and said, hey, Survivor fans, I love Survivor. Go see Hit Me Hard and Soft, whatever the hell it's called, the next week. And then she did it again tonight with Here's the Trailer. So she was on Amy Poehler's podcast. And that's what it was all about. She was on Amy Poehler's podcast and Amy Poehler brought it up. And rather than be like, oh, yeah, it was this cool thing. It was a big eye roll. It was, yeah, they named it after me. And she's laughing about it and all this stuff. And it was very negative. It was not positive at all. Clearly does not have the effect that CBS and producers are going to want from it. And so it's not even so much like, what did she say? It's the way she acted about it. I got my Ben Katzman shirt on today purposefully. That's the only musician I care about these days. To me, it was just super, super disrespectful, super unprofessional. I mean, I think brands are going to seriously consider, should we even go with Billie Eilish here moving forward on some of this stuff? This is like the number one no-no of doing celebrity endorsements. Like, imagine Steph Curry being like, Subway's actually ass, or all the Olympic athletes being like, I don't eat McDonald's. That stuff's going to kill you. You do the tie-in because you either get paid for it or because it's good promotion for yourself. It was just stupid. It was just, I don't even know. That was because Genevieve would want her boomerang back in.
I got to watch this video now.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was stupid. Chris Mack talks says, to be honest, who cares? I do. So there you go. I care. Anyway, this is about, we want to get Genevieve boomeranged back into the game because now Ozzy is out. I mean, good on Genevieve. This was actually the first person she gave an idol to because she said she wanted to target Ozzy and she thought Ozzy would be somebody who could go home with an idol. So guess what? Genevieve was right. World was wrong. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Genevieve continually gets screwed on season 50. That it keeps happening, even like weeks after her exit.
Yeah,
still not.
It just keeps going. So we get the split vote. So let's actually talk about, is this the right move? Now that you got me off on the Billie Eilish tangent again, to do that again, what is this whole? Who was this the right move for? Obviously, it's the right move for Saree. Saree's still in the game. Devins is in trouble, but Emily goes home here. How is this better for Jonathan and Tiffany?
If you're Tiffany, aren't you looking around being like, I probably need to sit next to like Emily and Joe to have a chance to win? And you just voted out one of the very few people you can beat? Or are you so far in and you're like, I just don't think I can win? Like, I don't know. It's hard because you have to think they're playing for first place, that they know every move they've made. And so you're like, okay. Like, Tiffany cannot have plans to sit at the end with Saree. Like, that's not ending well for her. That can't be.
I completely agree. She can't win. And I understand that maybe she wants to maybe she really wants to work with Suri. But again, it comes back to that point of how long can you go? Now, maybe Tiffany's saying, Suri can't beat me in a challenge. There's no way. She can't beat me. She couldn't even beat me in a challenge tonight, and I half cheated, which we'll get into. But yeah, I mean, maybe she's just not worried about Suri ever beating her, and she knows people always vote her out, and Tiffany does have to play maybe a little bit more of an under-the-radar type role here. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, so, especially if you're in a position like Tiffany, don't you want to be a part of a blindside? But I guess if you blindside Suri here, or if there is a Suri blindside happening, you're probably the last one to know. Like, if Tiffany gets looped in on a Suri blindside, it's probably because Devin's Emily and Jonathan got together and you're just along for the ride. So it's kind of, this was more like Tiffany, I guess, maybe like not making the move is the move, because at least you're in control. Like, you at least had influence on Emily going home tonight. But man, like, you're taking out one of the very few people you can beat. And that's probably.
And I feel like Tiffany was in a perfect swing position here, because even with Suri's extra vote, Tiffany still could just be like, all right, Devin's Emily, I'm with you. How are we going to make this work? How do we convince Jonathan? You pretty much forced Jonathan's hand. I mean, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. People are asking about the rules, essentially.
I was going to just bring that up. I've stopped looking at the chat because I don't want to be spoiled if there's any potential spoilers in there. I know some extra votes, they'll have the fine print like, this works on a revote, but does that still hold true if you are the target? I mean, I guess it does, but what are you interjecting
here? I know the answer to this.
Okay.
I think I know what the answer is, because there was one weird thing that happened here, and it was that Rick Devins was part of the vote and played his idol. And so I think because Devins played his idol, it almost like, once there was a three-way tie and Devins was a part of it, you can't say Devins, you can't vote, right? Emily and Suri, you can't vote. But I think what it essentially did is, I think with how Survivor works, I think it essentially reset, because it technically wasn't a normal vote because Devins played his idol. And now you all vote again, but Devins can't be voted for. So it's like, he's just immune. So you're like starting over a new tribal council. I think that's why everybody voted. And I think that's why Suri was able to vote a second time.
I think it's this. I think, look, if Devins played an idol, those votes don't count. So we have a 2-2 tie between Suri and Emily. Should be Suri and Emily, you don't vote. Jonathan, Tiffany, Devins go vote. The result's still the same. It would be a 2-1 Emily vote over Suri. Emily would get two votes. I think why that didn't happen is because Suri played an extra vote. And when you play an extra vote, they added the fine. The only way to make the extra vote have any merit or power outside of, like, you know, on an even numbered vote, you need to make forcing a tie matter. Or else, if you force a tie with one vote and then you don't get to revote, well, then it's not a tie anymore and your extra vote means absolutely nothing. So they needed to have that clause with an extra vote. And I think that's probably what it is. Because Suri played her extra vote, she gets to use that extra vote in the revote. However, because she was one of the targets, one of the people getting votes and is in the tie, the rule should say you don't get to vote. And I think those two rules are conflicting here. Those are at odds. And Survivor said, well, at least this extra vote survives through a revote is in fine print that one of our players is holding or has it in their bag. And they can point to and say, look, this works on a tied vote. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think they said, all right, let's not get into any issues. Emily and Suri, you both can revote. Who cares? You can only vote for each other anyway. I think it was just to honor that Suri still gets to write Emily's name down twice.
That's so do you think that if this was a 2-2-1? Oh no, it wouldn't matter. Yeah. So it had that. I think it's like a mix of both. I hope Dalton Ross,
I don't think it is,
like, interviews with Jeff every time. I hope that he gets to the bottom of that and like really susses out why.
I literally think it's because it's a extra vote. If Suri hadn't played an extra vote and this was just like, let's just say it was a 2-2-1, Devins played his idol and got the one vote. Mm-hmm. Not that he would have, but let's just say then Emily and Suri have two votes each. They both don't vote. Tiffany, Jonathan, Devins go up and vote.
Have we ever seen a vote, though, at Tribal? And I'm just asking this in the history. Like, have we seen a precedent for this where a person who plays the idol is one of the people, is safe, and then the other two? We have, right? The other two people vote, and then they go up and they say, okay, well, because we saw this with like a 3-3-3 vote, definitely, at some point in Survivor history, where one person plays an idol, they're safe, and then it's, okay, everybody now has to vote between these other two people. So yeah, you are right, and I'm definitely wrong on this.
That's about par for the course. That's how it goes.
It's not
around,
par?
Around these parts.
Is that like,
especially
an eagle?
When it comes into maybe advantages or some voting math. I feel like I've got my number. I've got your number.
You don't even know which number you have. You got voting math. You don't even know which number you're talking about. That was another thing that Billie Eilish mentioned, was math. Look at this one, Will. You see this? Nothing. Just good giz giving us $2. Thank you.
All right.
We appreciate it, dude. I don't know. Okay, so they all got to revote. They got to do the vote again. Emily goes home 4-2. It was good for, you know, Ceri. Ceri survives. Ceri's in the final seven. I'm very happy that we have Ceri and Devins both in the final seven. I'm really, really pumped about that.
Good for Jonathan too, right?
Yeah.
I think you keep Ceri out in front of you as a shield. She's probably going to get clocked here. And then, I mean, we've covered both votes now. I think we did get a lot of Aubrey and a lot of Jonathan. Those were kind of our front runners heading into this episode. I mean, who are they going to give credit to in you know what? I missed the previously on, but I started like maybe 15 or 20 seconds into it. Did they give credit for Stephanie's boot last week? Did they give that unnecessarily? That's what I've been tracking.
Yeah, they really only talked about Devin's.
Yeah, I mean, it was Devin's episode. That makes sense. And they couldn't really give the credit to Aubrey or Stephanie, or Aubrey or Jonathan, because Stephanie was in Jonathan's alliance, and Aubrey, it was Devin's did everything. I mean, it was Devin's night. Yeah. So,
I mean, I still feel like, I know Aubrey didn't necessarily make the move tonight. She was in the bad position, but for Aubrey to come out from this, I mean, Aubrey's coming out of this, you know, they got the Phoenix on, right? They're all wearing the Phoenix. I mean, Aubrey's coming out of this really in a good spot. Ozzy is now out, and we've seen Aubrey having conversations with a lot of these players, with Jonathan, with Tiffany. Obviously, she has the relationship with Devins. Pretty much everybody at this point probably realizes they can't beat Ceri. I feel like Aubrey comes out of this episode pretty good, and she did she had to do. If they try to spin this as her move, I don't agree with that, but I do think her giving away information that she got and kind of building up enough trust with Ozzy to get that information, that might be her winning moment.
I mean, we both said, look, Aubrey's edit is just so unnecessarily large for what she's done and what she's achieved game-wise. We were waiting for her to do something. It's not like this is some huge move, but at Final Tribal Council, she can absolutely argue, when we split into random groups again at Final Nine, I was the clear and obvious vote. So clear that Ozzy didn't play his idol. And I was able to come out of that. I was able to put people together. And it might not be true. It could be BS. Like, again, I think Rizzo decided whether this thing went off or not. But the fact she survived it, and, you know, Ozzy... Why did Ozzy, like, he pulled the Andy move, where you start pitching to the juror why you are going to win the game and spread the word at Ponderosa. I mean, that was what Andy did to Rachel. Rachel's like, I'm not done playing just yet. Aubrey's like, I'm not done playing just yet. You cannot start playing the jury game that heavy-handed. It's always going to come back to bite you, it seems like.
And I don't know why that's a mistake that everybody makes. Like, I understand wanting to butter up the jury before they head over to the bench. That's the point, right? Like, you need to make sure you're going to get those votes. But to do it here, and you mentioned earlier that Jonathan saying to Ozzy, like, I don't think I could beat you. That feels like better buttering up. And when he gives Christian his shot in the dark back, that feels like better buttering up, because you're doing it after the fact. You're doing when it's like, dude, you have to understand there's nothing we can do. Whereas Ozzy going and doing this to Aubrey, also, you're doing this to Aubrey. Aubrey is a great strategic player. Like, people forget how good Aubrey is. Also, Ozzy, you've played with Aubrey. You have been on the same beach as Aubrey on an entire other season. why are you taking her for granted? I think it was such a misplay on his part. And you just gave a bunch of information to somebody and pretty much said, hey, Aubrey, you feel desperate? Sucks to be you. Like, you can't do anything about it. So this is going to be easy because Joe and Jonathan are totally on my side. I have Rizzo. Yeah, but if they start hearing this information, now she's going to go spill everything. If they hear this information, they're not going to trust you anymore. He just didn't think that part through. Now, another question I have, because this was pretty ballsy for him to go up to Aubrey and say this. They weren't allowed to play the shot in the dark tonight, were they?
Why?
Because there's not six people left in the game at those tribals. There's only five. And it has to be a 1-in-6 shot. And that's like the whole point is that it expires at final six.
That's a good point. Yeah, but just because there's 1-in-6 shot doesn't mean there can't be six parchments with one of them in the bowl at the voting booth.
I agree with you. It just always has expired at final six. So I wonder if that was like part of the reason. I think it's why is Ozzie being so cocky about
this? I think it's six people left in the game, not six people left at whatever specific tribal council you're attending. I think you absolutely could have played a shot in the dark here. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't have worked.
Then that makes this even worse for Ozzie. Yeah, because we see they can use it at the split at five. So that makes this even worse for Ozzie because you're telling Aubrey all of this and she can still play her shot in the dark.
You know what the worst part of the whole thing was for Ozzie, though?
What?
You don't want to take a guess?
He went home?
His whole plan that he even spilled was, I want to sit next to Suri at the end. I think I can beat her. That was the... Really dumb to tell Aubrey all this. Loop in on the extra vote. Like, just spill all your she said it, your whole endgame agenda. But can we talk about how bad his actual agenda was? My goal is to sit at the end with Suri and get enough jury votes to win. In what world? So, Ozzie, you can be so mad that you got blindsided. You can be mad you got blindsided with an idol in your pocket. But if your plan was to go to the end with Suri and think you had a chance to win the title of Soul Survivor for season 50, you have no read on what's happening. Mm-hmm. So that, like, his plan was never going to work.
Well, and here's where I think that's funny is I thought him saying that to Aubrey was going to be a way of him saying, Aubrey, I want to go to the end with the best players. We should make something happen and blindside somebody tonight. Let's vote out Joe. Like, I thought that's where he was going with that when he originally started talking to her. I thought it was, I'm going to go to the end with Suri. Aubrey, you're one of the best players left in the game. Let's make something happen. And instead he was like, I want to go to the end with Suri, and I'm just going to keep playing with these like other guys. I don't really care. You're done. You have no shot. It was a cocky move from Ozzie. It was still a great blindside. And it was still like, you know, I guess that's where I'm feeling so positive about this episode. I don't feel like he actually got screwed. I really don't.
Didn't get
like,
screwed.
He did this to himself.
If he survived the vote, he's losing the game anyway because his goal is to sit next to Suri. After like seeing that unfold, it's like, okay, well, Ozzie never really had a chance to win anyway.
Funny because at the beginning of the episode, he's talking about his father. I'm thinking he's getting a winner's at it.
Well, yeah. And maybe there's a chance Suri gets picked off and then he picks up the pieces and somehow wins. Like, I get it. Like, that could happen. It was funny. There was an earlier point in the episode where, like, we got to take out a big player, like someone like Suri or Joe. I just, like, spit out my water.
Are we
putting those two in the same tier right now? Is that what we're doing?
You don't consider them the same caliber of player?
I do not, Phil.
Man, that's a hot take. We got to McKenna, cut that one up. We got to get that over on Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. No, it was rough. And somebody in the comments said he absolutely got screwed. DX, JC, 56. He absolutely got screwed in a normal final nine. So he tells him to use his idol. Yeah, but like, have the social awareness on your fifth time playing Survivor to not do exactly like this was the one way that Ozzie goes home. I do think that if he doesn't tell Aubrey all of this stuff, he probably is still in the game and Aubrey probably goes home. Cause I think Rizzo would have fought and told him you got to do this, or he would have fought and said, Joe, we got to stick this way. And I think that Joe could have been swayed, but I think that, you know, we saw Joe saying to Jonathan, should I really make this move? Does this make sense? And I think Rizzo got involved in that. And that's when Joe said, you know what? You're right. This is the time to make the move. Let's do it. I think if Rizzo's not backing it up, Joe's not making this vote. I think Ozzy totally screwed himself here, and you can't have somebody else play your entire game for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It wasn't, I don't think Genevieve got screwed. Colby got screwed. Camilla got screwed. I'm not sitting here being like Ozzy got screwed, or even, I mean, Emily maybe, but I don't think Emily really got screwed that much either. I mean, I think Emily just got outplayed.
Emily was dead to rights out of normal final nine, too. Like, I think Emily probably gets ninth place on this season.
She wasn't sitting in a position where she was going to last much longer. And if she did last much longer, she's probably not winning. So,
We got this one from Cody Brayman, late to the podcast. But do you think Queen Genevieve will go 2 for 2 with people getting voted out with an idol in their pocket? Do you think Rizzo goes too?
I don't think so. I don't think Rizzo gets voted out with an idol pocket. I think everyone, Rizzo always knows what's going on, man. It's impressive. Like, he know, like, there was no confessional or consideration for, like, is it me? Am I getting blindsided? Should I play my idol tonight? Like, we don't even hear a consideration of that. Obviously, it's not what happened, and it's not where the story was going, and it's not what, okay, the question of the night was, is Ozzy going to get blindsided one? And if he does, if there are enough votes going his way, is he going to hold on to his idol, or is he going to play it? So not like we needed that from him, but you almost forget that Rizzo even has an idol, and they mentioned it quite a bit, but you still forget, because it's like you just assume Rizzo knows when to play it and when not to. It's seriously impressive. I would be shocked if, man, Rizzo plays back-to-back seasons 49 and 50. He gets all the way to like final six. When's the last time he can play it? Is it a final six?
I think he can play it at 5. I think only Devin's was the one that had to be played at 7.
Can he make up his same trick that he did in 49? Where he's
nobody knows it.
I got to play this at final six, especially because Devin's already had one that was good until 6. Or was it good until 7?
The one that Devin's played tonight was good until 7,
which was odd. Because that at that point, Ozzy and Rizzo already had idols. You're going to have a shot in the dark. You're going to have an immunity necklace, and maybe they didn't want, you know, advantage getting shenanigans happening. But I think, Rizzo's there. I think, or if Devin's is there, it helps him pull off that lie where you're like, yeah, I got to play at 6, doesn't play it, keeps it for 5. Or maybe he holds it past its expiration date, you know? Maybe it expires at 6. He doesn't play it because he says he can play it at 5.
Yeah.
I got faith in RIZGOD.
I mean, the thing with Rizzo is, if Rizzo gets to the final 3, he can beat people. Like, he can beat some of the players. He can't beat all of them, but he can beat people. And so, you know,
Tiffany and Joe?
He can beat Joe. I don't know if he can beat Tiffany. Actually has some friends over on that jury, which is why I don't think she gets the final 3, because her edit hasn't been good enough for her to win. But I do feel like Rizzo, he's so underestimated and so undervalued right now. I don't think he's ever, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe this is a hot take. I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised if Rizzo doesn't get a single vote the rest of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see his name.
But he loses in fire back to back times.
Do you think he got any better in it in 10 days? Probably not. And I bet you whoever he sits next to is much better, unless he's sitting next to Ceree.
That'd be tragic.
That would be funny. I mean, it wouldn't be funny, but it would be pretty funny. It would be funny.
We have this comment that Rizzo can't beat 39 day Survivor players. Can't he argue that he basically just did like 56 days
or 52,
25? 52. Sorry. Can he argue 50? Okay. He just went 50 days and he had a 10 day break, but he crossed the 39 day threshold. Mm-hmm. If he's there at the end.
I mean, he could say I never have been voted out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem for him is, who are the 39 day players left? That's the problem. He can't beat Ceree. He can't beat Devins. Maybe he can beat Aubrey, but I doubt it. Cause if Aubrey gets there, Aubrey's in that swing position now. I think Aubrey would beat him.
Yeah, and just from what we've seen of Aubrey at this point, like, is this going to be, is Aubrey going to win the season and Rizzo's sitting there, everyone's going to be like, Rizzo should have won instead of Aubrey.
We have Jay Byrne Aquatic. Anyone but Aubrey needs to win. Hope she doesn't.
Her chances went up after tonight, and she was already one of the 2 front runners. So
I agree. And then Jay Byrne also says, wouldn't Jonathan win versus Rizzo and Joe?
Oh, totally possible.
Mm-hmm.
I almost view Jonathan as like a 39-day player. I know that's wrong, but like he just gives that kind of vibe.
He does. He's got the more old school, but then he's also, he's on top of it. Now, tonight, Jonathan gets thrown back and forth between the tribes.
I like that.
Are you, that part's fun. I did like that part. I thought that was kind of what they kind of hinted at this a little bit with Savannah last time, right? Where she got to win and then she got to go to the one tribe and talk to them, but then they didn't go to tribal and then she got to leave and go to the other beach. Do you think that Jonathan's going to get credit for the stuff that happened here, or will people find this to be circumstantial because the only reason he found himself in these positions is because he won immunity? Like, will he get credit for masterminding anything or getting that information? Because I do think that was a really tough thing to balance tonight of going back and forth and keeping all your stories straight. That's not easy, and nobody's going to give Jonathan the credit for that in the online community, but I do think that that's something that could potentially get him a lot of credit with the jury. But will the jury actually respect it as much as they should, or will they just be like, hey, you want immunity, you got yourself in an interesting situation?
I think if it was like his only thing he pointed to, hey, look, remember when I won and I was navigating both sides and look at those votes. That was a huge Aussie blindside. I'm going to take credit. And then look, Saria to player X wrote, we got Emily. Devin's played an idol that we flushed. I'm going to take. If that was kind of his whole speech and spiel, I don't think anyone's buying it, but he has the Camilla vote. He has the D vote. He has some,
the Christian
go after coach Chris. Yeah, there's the Christian vote. And look, I'm not sitting here and saying Jonathan is solely responsible for all these things. I just think he's been involved in a lot of the boots this post-merge, in that he can mention his role. And again, not taking 100% credit, but he's got his hands on this season. He's got his fingerprints all over this bootless post-merge. And so it's just another reminder. It's another thing he can point to. If he is sitting there and it is contentious that we don't have this obvious winner, who really did have more influence on the strategy? And they might go in thinking he's a physical player and that he gets firewood and cooks fish or whatever. But like, he's been involved in the strategy. You can't deny that. And if he can explain that well, that might be one of the tricky things about this. He has to get to the end, and then he has to like convince the jury that he did all these things. That might be difficult.
And Precious White says the fandom hates Jonathan, but he definitely deserves to win over Aubrey. To me, he played such a better game. I hear what you're saying, though. What has Aubrey done that Jonathan doesn't in Survivor or hasn't in Survivor? She sat at a final tribal and made a losing argument, and she's had a decade to reflect on that. Jonathan's never sat at a final tribal and felt that heat of you say something and people don't react the way you thought they were going to. They don't laugh. They don't smile. It's kind of like we do this podcast here. The only person I see is Will. I see the comments, but you guys are all faceless, nameless people. Like I'm not seeing your facial expressions as I say something. But if you're in a group and you're talking to 12 different people and you say like you crack a joke and nobody laughs, you start to get on your heels a little bit. Aubrey's used to that happening because she went into a final tribal council where she thought she was going to win, and then she lost, and everything went the way she didn't expect it to. For Jonathan, he could come in with this great plan, but if he gets punched in the mouth right to start that tribal, now he's on his heels.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Aubrey versus Jonathan heading into a final three, even as a viewer here thinking, okay, Jonathan's probably done more in this game. You would definitely have Aubrey as the favorite. Like, she's going to be more eloquent. She's going to be able to craft a, I think probably a more emotional narrative. Again, a 39-day player, old school player. Someone, too, that a lot of these people are Survivor fans that might incorrectly be like, Aubrey should already be a winner. Like, let's just crown her now. She already should have one. You know, it's like Rory finally winning the Masters last year. It's like, just give him the green jacket. You know what? Just give Aubrey the win. She should already be in the club.
It's funny you say that because I'm watching Ko Wrong now, because that comes out on the 21st. Everybody, day after the finale, we start our Ko Wrong for Every Season Matters. So we'll start sweating now and start watching. But I just watched the whole pre-merge. Michelle doesn't go to a single tribal and has 13 confessionals. You all didn't see her winner edit. She is not one of the top 7 or 8 most popular or most entertaining people on that season. And yet she gets 13 confessionals without going to a tribal in the first 6 episodes. Yeah, Michelle's winner edit was there, everybody. It's not that hard to see. But I hear it fits with your story there, Will. That's
right. Well, you can also go listen to the specialists, I think those videos are still up on YouTube. And you can probably
look exactly the same. I just have a few less wrinkles. That's about it.
We both look exactly the same.
You used to comb your hair weird. I don't know. Your hair looks, somebody had said earlier that you have a good hair day. Your hair, I feel like you do something better with your hair now. That's all. You used to comb it like to the side and you'd always like perfect it right before we went live. I remember that.
I think my hair just got better.
That's all it was. And you wear glasses now. You didn't always wear the glasses. Honestly, Will, you don't look the same at all. You also have facial hair.
I know.
You're the most baby face ever back then.
The glasses and the beard really do a lot.
Yeah, you're totally different guy here. But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I mean, that could be something. And I think that's what Rizzo, that's why with Ozzy going, to bring this all the way back to earlier in the episode, Rizzo being the, like, getting rid of Ozzy and being willing to get rid of Ozzy here, even if he taps him on the shoulder, that's, a lot of people could say, well, we think you should have beaten Yule. Yule just sat there with the idol the entire time. You played a great game. Let's say if Ozzy gets to the end, he survives this vote, Ozzy's going to get there tied with or beating Boston Rob for most immunity challenge wins in the history of the show. And he lost by one back in season 13. And a lot of people feel that he should have won that season. It could be the same story as what you're talking about with Aubrey.
Get him the green jacket. He deserves one.
He does. He does. That's interesting.
Speaking of challenges.
Yeah, we got an hour and 4 minutes in. We didn't get there.
Let's get there.
So Will, you bring this up a lot because there's a lot of people who talk about how they feel Survivor's rigged, challenges are set for certain people. Obviously, back in Philippines, we had the whole Abby Maria fiasco where people were like, those knots didn't look as tight as everybody else's, whatever. But you always will say there's people there on location. They're making sure that this stuff is fair, that everything is accurate. They're going to call it if it ever happens. Now, we've never seen this before live in the show. We saw Wendell have the moment, but Jeff and Wendell kind of came to that agreement first.
We've seen this before. I forget the season. Is it Africa?
Yeah, because they didn't notice then.
It was something with the word search game.
Oh, you're right. Was that in Africa or was that with Wendell?
Or Australia. I'm talking,
it was Africa if it was word search.
It was the word search where they had literally given immunity necklace to somebody. And then they said, I think they were like packing up or something. Like, wait a second.
Here it is.
Pearl Islands. And Pearl, it's like, Island. Wait, we went by. That word is actually not spelled correctly or something to that extent. And they said, all right, we got to take your immunity away and give it to somebody else. So there has been a precedent of this. This is not the first time we've seen somebody, Jeff crowns immunity. And then after further checking, you know, check the replay, they take it away and give it to somebody else. The Wendell thing was more Wendell solved the puzzle first.
Didn't say Jeff.
But he went like this with his hands, looked at it, didn't say Jeff. Laurel says Jeff, and Wendell graciously gave it up. I think if Wendell had put up a spat, you know, and they kind of like litigated it on set, then you're probably giving it to Wendell. I don't know if you ever have to call Jeff as part of, it's the first one to solve the puzzle. But that was very nice of Wendell to maybe got him to win. In the long run. But yeah, we've seen something like
at the end. I can't remember.
I think so. But her vote didn't really matter at that point.
No, it wasn't impactful at all. No. So I it hasn't happened recently, like season 7. That's a long time ago. We haven't seen it recently. We've never seen it in an endurance challenge, which is, I think, what was interesting here, because we do see, like, well, Aubrey's climbing up to the top first. She's trying to do her little surfer pose before everybody else. She falls off first. If you're just the last one to make that transition, everybody falls at the same time, do you automatically win? Like, is that fair? But we actually got to see them jump in and say, Jeff, we got a complaint here. And Will, why don't you talk about this?
I mean, yeah, they clearly were. There's a lot of people watching these. I know they shoot it in a way where it looks like it's just Jeff and the contestants. You know, there's 80 people out there out on barges and scaffolding in the water. You know, like they have cameras too that are shooting all this, and they have cameras that they can go back and replay also. Jeff counts it down. You can see it in the replay. Tiffany clearly does not have one of her 2 feet up. So she's now at a point where Jeff has said, we're in the 1 foot section. She's got 2 feet on her Wi-Fi thing there, her doghouse. And there you go. They see it, they call it. They notify, because the problem with this can be a very good challenge. The problem with this challenge, though, is that it's so dependent on weather. We had a flashback to season 46, where it was basically, go, and Jonathan won the challenge, and it lasted like 3 minutes or something because the waves were ripping. It was windy. But this is almost just as bad. If you have a completely still day, then you're never going to end the challenge without going to this 1 foot tiebreaker. And the 1 foot tiebreaker feels a little late for an immunity challenge this late into the season, season 50, this important to be like knowing that any, like, you know, half your cast is going to be able to stand on that top platform. It's in completely still water. You know, we don't have much weather. We don't have much wind. So then, you know, it's pretty much who can balance on 1 foot the longest. And so, yeah, that transition point is massive. And if you delay that by a full second, a half second, even if it's like, you know, a tenth of a second, if you don't go when Jeff tells you to, yeah, I stand by the judgment here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question. I mean, they showed the video and Ozzy wasn't even the first person to fall off at that upper level. And Tiff still had 2 feet down and she was like trying to lift up the 1 foot. I think the reason, and I agree with you, I think it's stupid that they go to 1 foot in this challenge.
But that's the problem. You have to go to 1 foot if it's that calm. If you get the sweet weather spot, then the first section is a little wobbly. Second section's more wobbly. You're going to get people falling off. You get to that top, it's waves are kind of coming, or it's you get a breeze and you have to like survive the storm or each wave that comes through. When it's that still, you would be there for hours and hours. No one is getting, then it just becomes like, you know, the Palau challenge, or it becomes like the merge challenge in Australia or the merge challenge in Survivor Amazon, where it's
which
just
I'm
like,
fine with.
But we have to tempt, you're just going to stand here and we're going to tempt you to get down. That's what it becomes, because anyone can do it when it's that calm of a day. And that's the tricky part with this challenge.
Yeah, and which I am okay with, but this is where, again, the 26 days starts to hinder. They went to the challenge. They all went home. Jonathan had to go back and forth between beaches, and they had to do 2 tribal councils. They don't have time for a challenge to go longer than a half hour. Like, this needed to end, and as soon as they went to 1 foot, it was over in no time, but it needed to end because they don't have the time. And I agree. I think this is way worse. Just do an endurance challenge. Somebody's going to fall eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Final nine, and now the prize is $2 million, Phil.
$2 million. I know.
I don't know. You might have people. I mean, you're going to go to 1 foot eventually. Like, you're just going to. That is.
What did you
think
about Rick Devin's dance over this $2 million? Because you mentioned the $2 million. What do you think about, like, was this too much? Like, what were they doing with all these different clips?
It was too much for me. This felt, if anyone watches House of Villains, you'll see that there's, like, these little, kind of, like, little segments or little clips, and, like, there are props brought in for them. They are written out. There's costumes, and they're like these produced little cute transition beats of like, or if they come up in the show, there's some phrase like Tom Sandoval and Tyson. They did like this bromance kind of like sitcom intro. That was a really fun little, it's a little bit. And that's a heavily produced show. I don't need that in Survivor. Like, this felt to me like Rick Devin's, go do the dance by the rocks. Okay, now go do the dance by the well and spin water over here. Okay, Rick Devin's, now go into the deep jungle under the tree. It's like, this felt produced to me. And that's never how Survivor should really feel. House of Villains can get away with it as much as we want to, because that's the tone of our show. But Survivor,
this was bad.
This was performative to like the extreme. And I doubt that Devin's was like, oh, I have an idea. I'm going to go dance over here. And then I'm going to go like, this felt like someone was like, oh, this would be a funny bit or a funny like segment we could do. I don't hate anyone for it. This isn't fried chicken or waffles or anything. And I wasn't even going to bring it up, but if you're going to ask me straight up, like, no, this wasn't good.
It was bad. It was really bad. Look, I love Rick flopping around. Like I said, he was doing the Aris, except he was 6 days early. He's flopping around on the rock. He looks like he fell over and stuff. It was just too much. I agree. Like, because this to me is a producer going, okay, Devins, you pulled this off. Let's go get B-roll. You don't do that for Survivor.
It feel like Survivor. That's right.
No. Which, and again, it's one time, whatever. As Nana Kai here says, Joe didn't approve of the dance. Damn right he didn't. Joe, you know what? I'm on Team Joe with this one.
Joe hates Devin so much. I can't believe he planted a fake idol. Oh,
he was so funny. Why would you even want to play with a guy like this? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand when he's saying that to Jonathan. And then when he's saying it to Ceree, and Ceree's like, what is he talking about? This is getting hard to babysit this guy.
Yeah, like you can't be mad when people play Survivor. Also, like, isn't Joe a big Survivor fan? Does he, like, I know he's only not. Played on 48, but, oh, he's not.
I think he's more because of his sister. I think that's more of the story, is like his sister was a big fan and he's doing this in honor of his sister.
Can you imagine like a scenario where Joe goes back, because he's now been on like two big seasons, seasons as big as 50, goes back. He's like, I'm going to go catch up on some old Survivor. And he's like, oh, snap, the dead grandma liar. Oh, my gosh. Russell Hanter, like Parvati playing two idols. Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, yo, this show is awesome. Like, look at these amazing lies and gameplay and strategy, and being like, oh my God, why did I go out there and just have a stick up my ass hating anything strategic? Like, that could be very funny if we get that. I doubt we will, but
watching Joe in 5 years, if it's like what Ozzy was this time, where it's, I'm going to play different, I'm going to do this, and we get Joe, and like you said, all of a sudden Joe wants to come out and play, like almost like what Ciara Don Thomas did in Game Changers, where all of a sudden she's coming out and she's trying to mastermind everything. You're like, who is this? You didn't do anything on your first season. Why are you doing this? I mean, look, Joe's done. He's not going to win this season. There's really no way. I don't think he's going to want to play again. I feel like Joe's
no, he's never going to play. Survivor,
you're saying it would be funny to see some sort of growth.
Realize he's like, oh, I get it now. Like, it clicks why people watch and enjoy. And not that it's the sole reason you watch the show, but like there is intrigue in playing the game hard and being creative with your strategic choices. So
agreed. We're down to final seven. We now have two idols out of the game. So now there's only one idol left, and it is in RIZGOD's hands. Devin's no longer has Emily, no longer has an idol. We have Sari, who no longer has Ozzy. We have Aubrey, who, you know, we've seen her talking to Jonathan and Tiff, and those two people are still in the game. We also have, of course, Joe, who we've just talked about. Did I miss it? We have Tiffany and Jonathan, who are playing these different games. Did I miss anybody? I feel like I missed someone. Sari, Devin's, this isn't a joke. I can't remember. It's Sari, Devin's, Rizzo, Aubrey, Jonathan,
Tiffany,
and Tiff. Okay, so that's it. That's only six. Who's the seven? And Joe. Okay, I think I have him. Where do you see the rest of this going? We're down to final seven. We're at a palatable number. Where do you see this going?
I think Aubrey and Devin's are still together. They're going to loop in, I don't know, like maybe they loop in, like they get together with like Jonathan and Joe, and then they target Sari, Rizzo, and Tiffany.
There's no way Joe plays with Devin's, man. There's no way.
Guess not. Like, where else is he going though? Like, Joe has no, like Joe's like he lost Stephanie. Okay. He lost Coach. He lost Colby. He loses Ozzy tonight. There's not much of these like honor integrity people left. He's only got Jonathan left. And I think Jonathan might be willing to, I don't know. I guess we have so many of these like pairs and duos that I'm not sure. My big thing is I fear for Sari. Ozzy's gone. Ozzy's idol is gone. I don't see a scenario in which Rizzo is playing his idol for Sari. I could have been sold on Ozzy playing an idol for Sari.
Well, they can't play it for each other. Remember, Billie Eilish, Boomerang.
Oh, yeah,
can't play
Billie Eilish. Yeah. What are you doing? Sari's extra vote is gone. I don't see how Sari does not get heat, especially at final. Like at some point, someone's like, we cannot let Sari be in this game any longer. And I don't know. Maybe I don't know if it's Rizzo turn. I think Joe, Jonathan, they can scrap up anybody. Aubrey is now in the mix here.
Do Aubrey we get Devin's and Sari in the finale?
Is it a single boot? It's only a single boot next week, though.
I'm assuming we're going to have a final six finale. We've had many of those in the past, so I'm assuming that's what we're going to get. Do you think both of them make it?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, do we get at least one? And I was like,
no, do we get both?
100%.
Yeah, 100% guarantee. Lock it in.
I would bet against getting both. I think Sari, it doesn't look good. And then if it's not Sari, it's probably Devin's, who just played his idol and doesn't have one anymore.
Yeah, I think Devin's is actually in more danger than Sari going into next week. I agree with you that both of like that Sari's definitely in trouble here. My thing with Devin's is, like you said, Aubrey and Devin's can play together. It would have to be Aubrey, Devin's, Tiff, and Jonathan, I think, for anything to work. Now, we have seen Aubrey building relationships with those people. right? We have, that has been a focus of her storyline so far this season, is building relationships with Tiffany and with Jonathan. Yeah, we actually haven't seen the thing with Tiffany come to fruition at all.
Yeah, the Tiffany-Aubrey relationship that we saw way long ago has not surfaced in any meaningful way.
And I feel like it has to. So that's where I'm wondering, could we get Devin's Aubrey, Tiffany, and Jonathan as the group of four to take out Ceree, to take out Rizzo, to take out Joe, potentially? Could that be our final four? That would be pretty cool. I would be into that one.
Wait, what are you saying? Who now? Sorry, there's too many names.
Devin, Ceree, Tiffany, and Jonathan.
I want to see Rizzo in there. Do you think there's a world?
Wait, why did
Rizzo?
I say Ceree? I meant Devin's, Aubrey, Jonathan, and Tiff. That's the four, because that's who, like, we have seen Aubrey. They've gone out of their way to show Aubrey having an edit with those people. And Aubrey's edit's been so bizarre this season. Again, I keep saying I think she wins the season just because the edit's been so weird. Those four people could make the end, and that would be fun.
It would be fun. I want to see Rizzo. Like, now that Ozzy's gone, does Rizzo abandon the Ceree ship? What do you think?
Yes, I think he
like
will.
Is he now like, Ceree, time for you to go? Because look, if Ceree goes at final seven, I know he's like shedding allies here, but then he's sitting at final six with an idol. Mm-hmm. Plus Tiffany's still in the game, Joe's still in the game, Jonathan's still in the game, mm-hmm. Aubrey's still in the game. Mm-hmm. And Rizzo's like, I think I like my chances here. Again, I don't know if he will be correct in liking his chances, but that sounds pretty good.
I think that's amazing. He's getting through six. So then he's at five with at least three people he thinks he can beat. Yeah, I mean, I think he's done with Ceree. Now that Ozzy's gone, I think he's done with Ceree. Now it'll be interesting when he gets back with Ceree, because Ceree's obviously going to be like, what happened with Ozzy? How did this happen? What's going on? How is Ceree going to react to it? I think that's the other big thing. Because right now, if Ceree sees them come back without Ozzy, she says, oh my God, they voted him out. He didn't play his idol. But when she finds out Rizzo also voted for Ozzy, will she have too big of a reaction? And ultimately it scare him a little bit, and that be the issue that comes up. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying, because I was responding to something, but
oh God. Well, here's my point is, yeah, Will was looking at his phone. He was actually texting me from noon. No,
what I was trying to figure out the Willie and the Philly.
No, what I was saying is, do you think that Ceree will be so annoyed at Rizzo that he was also in on the vote to vote out Ozzy, that he didn't have Ozzy's back? Not only did he not have Ozzy's back, he also placed a vote on Ozzy, because that's going to come out, that she kind of doesn't even trust Rizzo anymore, and that leads to
because I think Ceree, like, she's played enough Survivor to know, like, when the tides turn on someone you're aligned with, like, you can't stick your neck out and ruin your own game. Like, she even told us that much tonight in a confessional, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh my gosh, like, they're playing a blindsided Ozzy. I can't come out and say no, because that will reveal my relationship with him, and that might not be good for my game. So I'm gonna try to, like, do this subtly and hopefully get it over to Rizzo. But like, if he goes, he kind of goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she could say, why didn't you tell Ozzy to play his idol? You should have. And then Rizzo could explain all the other junk, you know, him spilling everything. But yeah. I think Ceree will understand as a strategy.
She doesn't really have a choice but to, right?
Right. Who else she got?
Yeah. And RZ Mio says, but Ceree gave permission for him to make the decision. I mean, that's true too. Philly and the Willie.
The power broker. What do we think of the name? Again, everything has to be named here.
Oh, I was going to throw that one up before we got to that. Power broker is a much better name than the double duo or whatever the hell it was.
I wanted to call this what I text you. It's the double blood moon duo, because yeah, we're splitting into groups like the blood moon, and we're doing two tribal councils, or we're doing two of something. Two people are going home, like the double duo.
You know what Jonathan kind of was in this episode? A boomerang. Maybe it's a double boomerang blood moon.
The duo. Double blood moon boomerang duo.
That's a better name than power broker.
I think so.
Ryan Chan here with this super chat. There we go. Well, looked like Genevieve was right about Ozzy getting blindsided with an idol. Too bad she couldn't reap the benefits. Yes, it was too late in the game. Bummed for Genevieve. I also have a comment here that's saved that I just want to bring up, because I had mentioned the spoiler thing early, and I know we have a lot of people listening right now, so I'm just going to mention it again. Whether your spoilers are real or fake, if you put something in the chat that's just constantly like trolling and doing that, I'm going to delete. So I have this one from Nightwalker here. Stephanie reposted a tweet which had wrong Kalshi odds saying Suri goes home this episode, which is why people were being so obnoxious about it this episode.
Well, good for Stephanie for doing that.
Yes, and good for everybody who convinced those people trying to make a quick buck on Kalshi that this was wrong, because I've been saying the whole time, I'm not looking at Kalshi stuff. I feel like it's spoiler crap. Yeah, no. It's crazy. And so I feel like if you are in this position, right, like where you're Stephanie and you're putting that out there, great. I'm proud of you for doing that, because that is good for us to see. Also, though, like if you're reading stuff on Kalshi and everything, what is the point of coming over onto a Survivor podcast and ruining the fun for everybody else? Like, it makes you so unlikable. Go take a look in the mirror. It makes no sense. Like, stop ruining the fun for everybody else because you're unfulfilled. So that's my speech to those who are spoiling people. Like, just go find somebody who cares. And also, for anybody who's going to be like mean again in like the chats or whatever, you can do constructive criticism. Don't be mean. You. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so here we are. The Philly and the Willy. I think I gotta go with Rizzo. I think I have to.
Really?
For the Philly. No. I mean, who? Okay, who are you going to give it to? Suri?
I would give it to Suri, obviously, for the masterful extra vote. Like, have we ever seen an extra vote really be that impactful? Maybe like once or twice. This is maybe one of the best played extra votes I've ever seen. And it's not even that powerful. Like, an extra vote is almost always nothing. And she used it right at the perfect time to save herself from going home.
I think the reason I'm giving it to Rizzo is because Rizzo made the decision.
We don't even know if Rizzo's
to cut an ally, though. I think Suri's but that's what's hard. I think Suri is seventh place on the season.
Yeah, but she could have been ninth place. She got herself two more placements.
All right, I'll give it to Suri. That's fine. I just wanted Rizzo to have somebody who liked him. Jeez.
I've been praising Rizzo nonstop.
Rizzo, I apologize that Will despises you as a human being.
I gave Rizzo the credit for the move.
Well, that's why I was going that way. I feel like that tribal council, I get that Suri played her steal a vote or extra vote. I get that she played that correctly. But I think that ultimately Emily would have gone home in a 3-2 vote there. Like, I think that they all would have voted for Emily. I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think more information was shared than we saw.
Yeah, we don't know how choreographed it was. I don't know. You think, look, because if let's just three-two this Emily thing, throw it on Emily, and all you're hearing from Emily, who's might be with you, maybe now, you don't know what to believe from Emily. She's got nothing to lose. And it's like, wait, what if Emily's telling the truth about Devin's wanting a flashy, like to continue his flashy jury game? He does play it on Emily, or someone spills the beans. I mean, maybe you don't realize Devin's and Jonathan have something going on. Like, and Jonathan's like, yeah, we're going to put three on Emily. And now you're sitting there, Suri, like, wait, now all three Emily votes could be negated. Like, no. The safest way, and even if this was choreographed, this was the safest way. That no matter where that idol went, that she wasn't going to go home and that they could revote. And that, yeah. And this is another reason maybe why they did a revote. Maybe Suri went to the producers beforehand and was like, look, I think I know how this thing's playing out. This is how I want to use it. I just want to ensure we get to revote, right? Because I know if I get votes, then I don't get to revote, but I do have this thing that says I get to revote. So maybe that's where that mix-up happened. But I mean, this was, I think, beautiful by Suri. This was like the only way to ensure that no matter where Rick played the idol, you were still going to get one of them out and that you were going to be safe. And to me, that was like a joyous thing to watch. But it's the Philly. Yeah. It's not the Willy.
I mean, it's tough. Philly. It's tough. I mean, I think I gave it to Suri last week. I'm going to give it to Rizzo. Screw it. I'm going to give it to Rizzo. Like, he got rid of somebody he can't beat. He allowed that person to go with an idol in their pocket. And I think that Rizzo's still going to have options coming out of this. I think he probably gained allies sitting there on that bench.
Okay. The Philly.
Whoa.
I gave the Philly. The Willy. The Willy. You know, like, obviously it can't be Emily or Ozzie because they went home, but who really, like, whose game took a big hit? I mean, Sari would have gone home if she if she doesn't make her play. So it can't be Sari. It can't be Rizzo. Can't be Jonathan, really. I think we're sitting in, like, a Tiffany situation for, like, why are you keeping Sari in the game instead of and voting out Emily when you could literally keep Emily someone you can beat. So I think I'm going to go Tiffany. And for cheating in the challenge, Tiffany, that's why you get it.
What about, yeah, what about Devin's for playing his idol? I mean, he needed to, so I guess that's not really a
No, he needed it. It was a 2-2-2 vote. They might, on the revote, they'll vote Devin's over Emily.
Oh, for sure. 100% for sure. Devin's
missing. For Devin's can't get it either. He saved himself with an idol. I think it's
and it can't Tiffany. Be Joe, because I actually think Joe showed some levity here. Good for him.
Joe made the move. We've been waiting for Joe to make the move. And I mean, I've given it to Joe. I don't know how many times I've given it to Joe. Enough times, probably. I think Tiffany gets it. And again, she didn't have a bad episode, but
nobody did.
You're keeping Sari in the game, and you're eliminating somebody, one of the very few people that you could beat at Final Travel Council. That's probably not good. And you didn't cheat, but you got disqualified. If you had maybe raised your foot up on time when Jeff said so, you could have had immunity. You could have been the power broker. So,
and imagine how different this episode looks if it's Tiffany walking back and forth.
Very different. And we got a great app, but so maybe we thank Tiffany because for what we got, I think this was fantastic. So that's it. I mean, it's not a huge Tiffany Willie here. There's just not really a great place for it to go.
Love it. In terms of prop bet game, I got to rewatch the end of the episode. I missed who the last person shown getting up to voted tribal would be. First person out of the immunity challenge was Sari. Jonathan won immunity. Jonathan was the first person asked a question by Jeff at the first tribal. Jonathan, Ozzie, and Devins all mentioned players no longer in the game. Aubrey, Tiffany, Rizzo, Devins, and Joe all had fewer than six confessionals. Last person to get their first confessional in the episode was Emily. Cast deciding vote, it was Tiffany. I missed who had the Ozzie one. I got to go back and look at that. Most confessionals is Jonathan. Mouth blurred was Emily and Ozzie. So those were the two. Those were the big ones there. Like the video and subscribe to the channel. Tomorrow night, I have Omer Zahir from season 42 coming on to talk about all of that has been going on with this season. We'll be digging deeper with him. Probably going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. It might move up earlier. I got to follow up, but it's definitely going to be us. And Omer will be here. And then predictions and power rankings this week will be on Saturday, not Sunday. It'll be with Owen. And it's either going to be at 4 p.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern. We just don't know which time yet. We're trying to lock it down. So that's what we have on that front. Obviously, John and McKenna doing Survivor Rewind and all of our Patreon stuff, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're finishing up Second Chance, and then we're going to get into Ko-Rong, which is well-timed because it's going to be on May 21st, which based on how we're both feeling, Aubrey's probably in the finale. So whether she wins or loses, we're probably going to be going from a finale with Aubrey to talking about Survivor Ko-Rong's cast on May 21st. So that's a lot of fun. Will, anything we missed? I feel like this was a really good recap. What, you got anything else?
This was a great recap for a great episode. Again, this is maybe my favorite episode of the season.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I really am. I love this. I thought this was excellent, excellent, excellent TV.
I don't like the twist. Like, I don't need to see the twist again, but we're lucky that we got such a good result from it.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what we got. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
See ya.